Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special solo episode of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one podcast about Joshi Pro Wrestling. I am Kelly. As you can hear, Taylor is not here. Taylor is out on assignment. I have sent him to go to Japan to make me a monster. You know how Marigold is just stardom but worse? I want him to go make Marigold but worse. So we're going to see what happens with that. I think he's currently talking to Megaton and Chiaki to see if they will make the jump. And he is also working on making a bunch of wrestlers from Dotonbori Pro defect and come over to our new terrible promotion. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully we'll hear about it in 2 weeks from Taylor when he is back. In the meantime, it is just me. I will be here talking about all of the tournaments going on. There are so many tournaments. But before we get to that, gotta hit the plugs. Twitter/X/Blue Sky. Find us at JBombAudio. Find me at Comic Geek Kelly with 1K. Find Taylor at TayMambo. You gotta subscribe to us if you haven't. We really would appreciate that, especially if you could give us a rating and review. That would be awesome. And if you feel like making a donation to your old pals Kelly and Taylor, helping us get our new wrestling promotion off the ground. I'm just spitballing. We're gonna go with Terrible Pro at the moment. We'll see how that goes. You can send us some money over at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. Okay, since it's just me today, I'm kind of just going to go through things loosey-goosey, you know. I want to cover each tournament kind of one by one, and then I've got one or two other things to talk about, but outside of that, it's just tournament action today. I was hit with the realization. I don't even know if it's a realization. It's a question. Am I getting too old for round-robin tournaments? Have I like outgrown them? I can't remember the last time I was really, really into one of these. Honestly, the 5-star this year is probably the most I've been interested in one of these tournaments in years. I kind of thought back earlier, and I think the last time I really paid attention to a tournament like this, like really was just watching every show, was tracking the standings and all that, was probably the 2019 G1. And that's probably right around when I kind of just totally fell off of New Japan after that, too. Like, I still watch them here and there, but I don't really follow the promotion. I don't know if just the tournaments have gotten worse or if I just don't want to watch them as much as I used to. It's just, it's too much wrestling. It's so much. And especially in such a short amount of time. Like, there's been so many shows to watch. I'm so grateful to Tokyo Joshi that theirs is just a regular knockout tournament. But yeah, it's the... I don't know. I think I might just be growing out of them. Or it's just they're not as good as they used to be. Because, like, when I first... The really, like, when I really, really got into Puro again after... I don't want to say I was ever really into Puro. I just had FMW tapes. So that's... Yeah, that's what I'm going with. When I really jumped into things was with a G1 that I want to say was maybe... It was still in the Ustream days, I believe. Because I was following it on Daily Motion, thanks to a nice fellow who uploaded all of the matches. And it was kind of a great way to get into it, because I knew a handful of the wrestlers. I had watched the Wrestle Kingdom that year that they did on Ustream pay-per-view. So I knew people. And so I would watch their matches, and I'd see them have great matches against other people I didn't know, and then I'd watch those people's matches, and eventually I got to know the whole heavyweight roster that way, and it was great. It was a great introduction to the just the company as a whole. So I don't know, maybe this works for people that haven't seen a ton of these, that are just jumping into things, and they're like, hey, look at all these cool people. I'm learning about new wrestlers every show. I'm seeing who I really like, and... So maybe it's a great way for new fans to get into, but I don't know. It's daunting. It's very daunting. So that all being said, let's kick things off with the 5-star. I think I'll kind of go through highlights of shows since we've last spoken. Then we'll dive into where the tournament goes from here into the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. But let's start with August 6th, 5-star, night 6. Let's see, I'm going through my notes. I know I had the highlights. Suzu versus Hanako fought to a double countout. Really good hard-hitting action in that one. That was one where it was like, I thought the ending of the match was bad because I think the ref blew the call. And Suzu got into the ring before he called, it was the countout. So, I don't know. That was just me. I probably would have gone 4 stars if not for that. I ended up at 3 3/4. That show also had Bozilla versus Sari. Great match. Totally didn't see the draw coming on that one because like I completely lost track of time and got sucked into this match. And then Daichi took a punch from Bozilla. Perfect. Perfect match. Loved it. 4 stars on that one. And then the main event was Saya Kamatani beating Hanan in a fantastic main. I think these two... just have a fantastic like title match, big title match ahead of them at some point down the road. I would love to see this become a long time rivalry between the two. I think they have great chemistry, and I would love to see more matches from them. 4 1/4 on that one. Then we go to the 9th, 5-star night 7. My favorite match of that show was Saya Iida defeating Miyu Amasaki. Thought it ruled. Miyu showed a ton of fire here and really brought the fight to the bigger, stronger Saya. They really meshed well here. 4 stars for that one. And then the main event I thought was really good too. Hanako beating Momo Watanabe. One of the times that the interference spots actually worked for the match, I thought. Oh, and then also that show had Sari fighting Suzu, and they fought to a draw. A pretty wild brawl. Good stuff. Would like to see them go longer in the future. Night 8, that was on August 10th. I gotta be honest, I don't have any notes on this one. I think I was kind of checked out with things at this moment. at the moment when I was trying to catch up. But yeah, I have zero notes. I just have results. So if there's something on this show you really liked and wanted me to talk about, I apologize. But I don't even remember damn near anything about this show. So sorry, guys. Night 8, pretty forgettable, I guess. Night 9 on the 11th. Let's see. Oh, this my first note on this one is this tournament really made me kind of just reflect on Rana Yagami's bizarre entrance music. It's just like, to me, it sounds like a B-side from a release of Luigi's Mansion music, and this is the one that wasn't spooky enough to make the cut on the main album or in the main game. Just odd song. What else? We had on the show Bozilla defeating Sayahida, really fun kind of hoss match. Sari beating Hanako, really great. And again, another hoss match. A lot of brutal strikes. Hanako ate so much offense in this match, including a really stiff kick in the face. Hanako's triple suplexes got over really good with the crowd, and Sari's been doing really good as a heel. And really, her heel character is just her being a tiny bit meaner. Like, it's not much different than what she does normally. She's just a smidge meaner than normal. The kicks have a little extra sauce on them, but other than that, she's pretty much the same. 3 3/4 on that one. It's followed up by Suzu Suzuki defeating Konami. I really like that one. Could have done without the interference. And Konami once again getting implicated in a blackface scandal. But otherwise, pretty good match. Another 3 3/4. And then the main event was Ciara Ino defeating Aya Sakura. Just killer strikes in this one. I thought it was just shy of being like a must-see match. But great main event. Again, 3 3/4. So that show was pretty good. Then we go to Night 10. That was on the 16th. The opener was awesome. This was Natsupoi defeating Rian, who I think has had a fantastic tournament. She has been so good in her role as, you know, young rookie that fights as hard as she can but still gets beat. I don't think she won a match the entire tournament. I'll look at the standings later and to confirm that, but yeah, she was great here, and I think she had a really good showing this tournament. Poi was great here. And really, Rian is kind of the counterpoint to Marigold's crew of shitters. Like, just rookies can be really good in a tournament like this, but you just can't have a million of them. Poi was awesome here, of course. Just a great opener. 4 stars. What else happened on this show? Saya Kamatani defeated Mei Sierra, and really good match, and reminded me how much fun it was when Saya was, like, in the high-speed division for a cup of coffee. That was a good time. 3 3/4 on that. And then the main event, Sari defeating Momo Watanabe. This was a match I loved, but I do have some major problems with it. The action was great. Thought both women were really swinging for the fences here. I love that Sari's trainees or proteges with Chi-Chi and Miku were just... It was awesome seeing them mix it up with Hate. Here's the thing. The opening of the match sucked. Because you had Momo just grabbing the belt out of Sari's hands and hitting her with it. And Daichi just kind of shrugs it off and starts the match. Like, stuff like that breaks my immersion. Because, like, if that was real, Daichi would, you know, admonish Momo for that, and then he would check on Sari and say, like, hey, can you continue? You just got hit with a metal thing. Instead, he's just like, ah, darn, those rascals are at it again. But I guess that's just kind of how it goes with Hate. I don't know. It bothers me. And then, again, we had interference, and it kind of led to what it felt like a pretty flat finish. So it was disappointing. It was great, but disappointing. I went 4 stars flat. I would have loved to have gone higher on it. But yeah, that was night 10. And that brings us to night 11 on the 17th, which is today. I'm recording right now. I honestly just finished watching that show maybe half an hour ago. Good little show. A lot of quick matches. Nothing super, super great in the first half. Pretty skippable. Sayaka Carrara beating Izumi was probably the first like match I would say, hey, you should really watch this. Really good back and forth match that felt like a huge win for Carrara. That was followed up by Poi beating Starlight Kid. You know, predictably great match between these two. These two are always going to have great matches against each other. Poi beats Starlight Kid here and spoils her, taking her out of the tournament entirely, which was kind of a surprise to me. So maybe, I know a lot of people assumed Izumi was taking the spot, but maybe we could see Starlight Kid in the Forbidden Door 4-Way as the Stardom representative. So that's my thought on coming out of that. I'm assuming I'll somehow be proven wrong probably seconds after this airs tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I went 4.25 on that match, thought it was great. That was followed up by Amisore defeating Bozilla. Just a great match that I think was the best that either woman had in the tournament. I thought for sure this was going to go to a draw to protect Bozilla, but Ami winning it here felt huge. Ami then, at the end of the match, kind of called out Bozilla and said she's going to be her rival, and you know what? Hell, let's go for it. They had great chemistry here. I would love to see them have a bunch more matches. Great stuff, 4 stars. And then we had the main event. Bea Priestley defeating Saya Kamitani. I don't know what we're doing here, guys. Bea, I think, has largely been a dud in this tournament. She's had some decent enough performances, but nothing blow away. Nothing that makes me think, oh, they should use her after this tournament. If she goes away after the tournament and we never see her again, I would not be upset. She has brought nothing new or fresh to the roster. It's just, she's fine. She's absolutely fine. She's fine to bad, I would say. There's not much, there's not a very high ceiling going with her matches at the moment. So having her be the first person to beat Saya in the year is insane. I don't know why you would waste this moment on B. I don't know why you would do that here in this spot. It feels very weird. Like, it's not like this was a big show that was, like, the crowd was shocked. I mean, that was a cool moment, but I don't think it was worth it here. You would have probably been better served having it happen in Kurikan on the knockout stage of the tournament. I mean, maybe they want Saya to win the tournament. Who can say? But it just felt like a waste to have Bea Priestley be the person to beat Saya because I don't think she's doing anything for the company at the moment. I don't think they need her. And it's disappointing to see. I ended up going 3 stars on the match. Again, I thought it was fine. I don't think they had great chemistry, but I think they made it work well enough. But yeah, just the booking of it was terrible. Okay, so that is where we are at with the tournament currently. All of the regular block matches are done now. So let's go over the standings, and then from there we'll go through the tournament that is coming up to decide the overall tournament. So we got the Blue Stars A block. Sariano coming out on top with 11 points. Below her is Amisore and Bozilla with 10 points each. Then you got Saida at 8, Ruaka at 7, Miyu Amasaki at 6, Aya Sakura at 4, and Yuriahime at 0. I would say Sari is for sure the MVP of the block. She had great matches throughout. Saya and Bozilla, I thought, both stood out as well. Yuriahime didn't do much for me. I think she is easily the weakest of their current crop of young wrestlers, for my money. But still, solid enough. Then, in Blue Stars B block, we got Sari winning the block overall with 11 points. Suzu Suzuki following behind her with 10. Momo Watanabe at 8, Hanako at 7, Rani Agami at 6, Konami at 6, Hina at 6, and Momo Kogo at 2. I'm surprised to see Konami not finish higher, to be honest. thought she had a really strong start to the tournament and then kind of stalled out, I guess. Seeing her and Rana and Hina all kind of at the bunched up there is surprising. I think Sari, again, probably MVP of the block. Suzu had a really good tournament. Momo is, it's those top three. They are the MVPs of the block. I thought Momo had a great tournament. She can have a good match with damn near anyone on the roster. So she is such a great wrestler to have around. Then over in Red Star's Block A, we've got Saya Kamatani at the top with 12. B Priestley in second place with 10. And in third place, Hanan with 9. Then you've got Mei Sierra at 7. Azusa Inaba at 6. And then Lady C, Yuna Mizumori, and Waka all coming in at 4. Weirdly lopsided block, I think. Because those bottom three didn't really have a great tournament, I don't think. Yuna had a decent showing, but Lady C and Waka weren't doing much, I don't think. I thought Hanan did well. Saya did really well, of course. I already talked about B and what I think of her. Mei Sierra had a good showing. I'm torn on Azusa Inaba. I like her a lot sometimes, and then others, I just find her very boring. But for the most part, I think she's good. Overall, solid block. Then we go over to Red Star's B, Natsupoi winning the block overall at 10 points. Azumi and Rina coming in a tied second place in third place with 9 points. Then, yeah, bunched up in the middle, Tomoka Inaba, Starlight Kid, and Natsukatora at 8 points. Sayaka Kurara at 4, and Rion at 0. Honestly, I'm disappointed that Rion didn't get any points. I would have liked to have seen her at least get one win. Thankfully, Tora did not get through. That's awesome for me and Taylor specifically. We're very excited about that. But yeah, really good top three. Really good block overall. Like I think this may have ended up being my favorite block. Even with Tora around, I think she was fine enough. But yeah, really good stuff out of Red Star's B. And that brings us to the tournament that will be happening or starting on August 20th at Currican Hall. So the 20th has the playoffs and the quarterfinals. And then the semifinals and finals will happen on August 23rd. So let's go through the four playoff matches first. Blue B Block 2. Second place, Suzu Suzuki facing Blue A Block. Third place, Bozilla. The winner of that goes on to face Blue A Block. First place, Sierra Yano. I think Bozilla comes through with that one. And then I think Bozilla might also beat Sierra. See her go to the semifinals. That's my prediction right now. Then we've got the next playoff match is Blue A second place Amisore facing Blue B third place Momo Watanabe. I would expect Amisore to get through because Momo could win, but I don't think you want to keep running back rematches in the quarterfinals, you know, because I already predicted that we'd have a rematch between Bozilla and Sierra Yano. So I'm going to guess Amisore beats Momo Watanabe and then goes against Sari. I think she loses to Sari. I think Sari and Bozilla is your semifinal match from that side of the block. Then we've got the third playoff match. That is Red B second place Azumi versus Red A third place Hanan. I think Azumi probably wins here. There was a part of me that says Hanan, but again, then we just get another rematch. But I suppose, well, here's the thing. Had Saya not lost to B, I would put Hanan through and have Hanan beat Saya and get her win back. But I don't think Saya's going to lose in this match unless they're telling a story of her, like, losing her momentum or something. So my prediction is Azumi goes through and then loses to Saya in the quarterfinals. Then we've got the final playoff match. Red A second place, B Priestley versus Red B third place, Rena. I would assume B wins here. I don't see B losing to Rena. And then B advances to face Natsupoi. I would hope that Natsupoi would win here. Personally, just because that'll make for the better match. But I think it's entirely possible that B defeats Natsupoi. And then Saya gets her win back in the semifinals. So then they're 1-1 going into a potential B Priestley title shot if that were to happen. I don't know if it will. I would assume it is. It's easy booking. I think that makes the most sense. So I think you have Saya versus B going into the semifinals. And then I guess let's talk about the semifinals. So my predictions are your semifinals are going to be Bozilla facing Sari and Saya Kamatani facing B Priestley. Again, I think Saya beats B, so Saya goes to the finals. And then this is hard. I'm booking myself into some corners here. Because I don't think you want to run your two champions against each other. So maybe it's entirely possible. Okay, we're going back. We're rewinding things. Maybe Momo beats Sari. Momo beats Amisore and then beats Sari. And that kind of continues the Sari and hate feud. So then you have Momo Watanabe versus Bozilla going into the finals. I think you can have Bozilla beat Momo. I think that's entirely possible. And then I guess that makes the finals Bozilla versus Saya. And shit, maybe you just go full steam ahead on Bozilla and have her win. I mean, it sucks that Saya would be taking two losses that close together, but, you know, with a tournament like this, that's bound to happen, unless you're going to have her win. Which, she's had such a dominant year, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. I think you could have her beat Bozilla, and Bozilla wouldn't lose any momentum. Because, I mean, I'm already having Bozilla beat the leader of her own unit. So that's a pretty big win there. So I've talked myself into it. I think Saya comes out of this champion and the 2025 five-star Grand Prix winner. Feel free to yell at me and tell me I'm wrong. We'll find out on August 23rd, which I believe the show is going to be a pay-per-view. We'll see what else is on the card. I'm sure that won't shake out until after the show on the 20th. So as of now, all we know is there's going to be semifinals and finals on that show. So I'm excited. Get into it. Let's go. Okay, now that we are done with Stardom, let's go into the Tokyo Joshi Pro Princess Cup. We've got nights 3 and 4 action to talk about. Night 3 was on the 9th. This had the quarterfinals? Yeah, quarterfinals, because the second show is the semifinals. So you had Miyu Watanabe beating Haru Kazushiro. Haru put up a great fight against Miyu, and I think this may have been her best singles outing yet. The match did make me realize, though, that Haru needs to kind of lay her shit in a little bit more. Really stood out against Miyu with how kind of strong and stiff she works. Good match, though, 3.5. Yuki Arai defeated Wakana Uehara. My only note goes boring result, fine match. Sure, it was the chalk way to go, but it was kind of disappointing to see Wakana not win here. Then you had Arisu Endo upsetting Miyu Yamashita. For the most part, this was Miyu just mauling Endo, and Endo doing her best to survive, and I think that was the best possible way you could have booked this match. Endo just kind of caught Miyu at the right moment and picked up the win. Great match, and it really makes sense that Endo would probably have been fighting Mocha in that spot initially, and that would probably just set up a title challenge for her in the future. So that's my guess at how things were originally supposed to go. But really good stuff, 3 3/4. And then in the main event, Shoko Nakajima defeated Mizuki. I wasn't super into this match. I thought it wasn't very exciting, but it had some incredibly methodical work from Nakajima targeting Mizuki's neck. Good stuff, but just an incredibly slow pace. And then there was a fairly big botch from Nakajima in the closing stretch that kind of hurt it for me. So I only ended up going 3.5, but it was mostly good. Then we've got the semifinals. This was also on August 17th today, night 4 of the Princess Cup. In the first semifinal match, Arisu Endo defeated Yuki Arai, and I thought this rocked. The whole match just felt like a struggle to me. They were really just doing everything they could to win here. The work was not smooth at all, but for what they were doing, I thought it was perfect. Yuki Arai was just making the most unhinged faces in this match, and it was kind of amazing. And along with that, and she was working kind of meaner here, and I think they might have something in her as a heel. So I think that's something to look for going forward, and something I hope they capitalize on. Up to this point, this was my favorite match of the tournament. I went 4 stars, incredibly happy to see Endo win. And then that was followed up by my new favorite match of the tournament, Miyu Watanabe defeating Shoko Nakajima. God damn, these two are so good. Just the opening stretch had some of the most just like fast-paced and smooth-looking exchanges you'll ever see. They did some crazy monkey flip spots that really showed how, I think, pound for pound, Shoko Nakajima and Miyu Watanabe are two of the strongest women's wrestlers in the world. The body control they had was amazing. The pace in the match, it was kind of start and stop, but like in a good way. It was planned to do that way. Like they would kind of slow to a crawl as they got more worn down in the match, to the point where there was like moments where Miyu just kind of collapsed. And Shoko was just waiting for her to get back up to strike. And initially, you think it looks like, oh, they screwed up here. But it's like, no, this was all by design. They're showing just how damn tired both of them are. And just how evenly matched they are. And I thought they did a really good job getting that story across. And I thought this match was fantastic. I went 4.25 on this one. Highly recommend checking out both of the semifinal matches. They're both well worth your time. And then that will lead us into the finals of the Tokyo Princess Cup. It's the 12th one. I don't think I had that in my notes anywhere until I just saw it on the match graphic I'm looking at. So that show is happening in Curricon Hall. We have a handful of matches announced. You've got Maki Ito versus X. And I believe X is someone that was in the tournament. And I don't know if X will be announced prior to the show, but we'll see. You have a special singles match between Yuna Manase and Toga, which that should be good. Two hard hitters. I'm looking forward to that. There is a DDT heavy metal weight championship battle royal, I believe. So that should be fun. Looking forward to seeing a bunch of the Tokyo Joshi goofballs in there. And then your main event, of course, is the tournament finals. Miyu Watanabe facing off against Arisu Endo. And in all honesty, I think this could go either way. I think both have a good shot at winning here. Miyu just lost the title. Not just lost, but she lost the title to Mizuki. So, you know, she wants to get back into title contention, and Endo's never made it this far in the tournament. So this is like the Cinderella story. So can she break through that ceiling and beat Miyu and then go on to potentially bigger and better things? I don't know the answer to that. We'll find out. My gut says Miyu, but also I don't know if they're going to have Mizuki lose the title yet. And in that case, I don't think you would put Miyu against her. Because Endo can challenge for the title and lose, and it's no big deal. I don't think I would want to see Miyu challenge Mizuki for the title and then lose to her again. So maybe I'm flipping. Maybe I'm going Endo. I think it would be, you know, yes. I think that would be a great move to help elevate Endo. And I think she could have a really good match against Mizuki. And then you save Mizuki versus Miyu for down the road if you want to put the belt back on Miyu again. So yeah, okay, official prediction. Urisu Endo beats Miyu Watanabe. Which may be a stupid thing to say, because this is a very conservatively booked company. God damn it. No, I'm sticking with it, locking it in. Risu Endo wins the Tokyo Princess Cup 12. Feel free to point and laugh at me when I'm wrong. Okay, and that brings us to the third tournament going. We've got Marigold's Dreamstar Grand Prix 2025. Look, I think this shit sucks for the most part. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I watch the matches mostly. I'm not saying I fully pay attention to all the matches, but look, they're not getting my attention. I think, okay, so on the 10th, I have, what are my notes? I've got Misa Matsui defeats Mai Sakurai. Misa wins with a roll-up that Sakurai had to help her apply. Yep, that was bad. I remember that. Yuzuki defeated Sarah Yamaoka in a match that I thought was worked at a damn near glacial pace until they wrestled long enough to tease a time limit draw. Because, yeah, I think that one went to, like, 14 minutes. And then Victoria Yuzuki picked up the win. So that one, honestly, that match was kind of disappointing between your two future stars, but better than a lot of the other slop on this tournament. On the 16th, sorry, I got distracted. autocorrect changed Nagisa Nozaki's name to Nagoya Nozaki, and it broke my brain for a second. But she beat Mirai via countout in a fine match. So the venue for this show was really interesting, where it looked like an auditorium for the most part, but you did have other, like, seating up on the stage. So it was a very interesting looking venue. That match I didn't rate, and I don't remember it well enough to give you a rating, but I enjoyed it well enough. And then you had Utami defeating Sari Yamaoka in what I believe was a very good match, but also underwhelming for it being the first singles match between your current ace and your future ace. I think if this match had happened between two other wrestlers on the roster, I would probably be raving about it and calling it like a hidden gem. But I wanted more out of these two. So I don't know. I thought it was good, but not great. I ended up going 3 3/4. Probably the strongest recommendation I can give to anything from this tournament so far. So I would say if you absolutely need to watch some Grand Star or Dream Star Grand Prix, Utami versus Sarah Yamaoka is your way to go. And then on the 17th, Mai Sakurai defeated Kazuna Tanaka and Maria defeated Rei Seto. So that takes us to looking at the standings. There's still a lot of tournament left to go. This runs through September 14th. So things are not set in stone at all. The red block is currently headed up by Utami at 6 points. You've got Mayu and Sari Yamaoka and Maria sitting at 4 points. Koke and Chiaki sitting at 2 and Rei Seto at 0. So again, nothing's set in stone yet, but it's to be expected that Utami, Victoria Yuzuki, Mai Iwatani, Sari Yamaoka, they're all going to be near the top of the block. And then we head over to the blue block. You got a three-way tie at the top for 6 points between Mai Sakurai, Misa Matsui, and Nagisa Nozaki. Chen Yoda is in, I guess, fourth place with 4 points. Mirai has 3 points. Chikugoda has two. Miku Aono has one, though she has only wrestled 2 tournament matches so far. She still has 5 matches left to go. So she's still got a lot of tournament ahead of her. That's Miku Aono sitting at 1 point, and then Kazuna Tanaka with 0 at the bottom. That's to be expected. I shudder to think that Misa Matsui is coming out of the block as the winner. Mai Sakurai has, from what I've seen, has had a fairly decent tournament. Again, her and Chan Yoda, my workhorses of the company at the moment. So I'm thinking Mai Sakurai or Miku Aono are your winners for the block overall. But again, a lot of tournament left to go. Who can say? We'll talk more about it next time we're back. And then that is mostly what I have for you guys today. The one other thing I've got is talking about the Wave 18th anniversary show from August 10th. Two big matches on that one. You had the Regina DeWave title defense, Kohaku successfully beating Saya Kamatani for the title. Now this was a match that felt like a big deal when Saya lost here. This was her first loss in at least the calendar year, maybe longer. I'm not sure. But this match felt like it mattered, and the loss was a big deal here. Just great, fast-paced action throughout, I thought. And they did a great job making it feel like a huge win. Like, Kohaku, you know, brought back the title from the invader. And Saya did a great job to sell the loss. Like, she looked legitimately upset to have lost that title. I thought she did a tremendous job in losing here. So, great stuff. Really just kind of helps Saya's Wrestler of the Year resume. I went 4.25 on that one. Well worth checking out. And then the main event of that show was a light tube death match. Jun Kasai defeating Yuki Miyazaki. You really got the whole Jun Kasai experience in this one. They went through so many light tubes. Miyazaki got skewers in her head. The finish, Jun Kasai hit her with the Pearl Harbor Slash. He landed so hard off of a ladder on her that the goggles he wears went flying off his head. This was great. They both worked really hard, put on a super fun match. If you're a deathmatch person, check this out. It was a great time. I went 4 stars. And that is my wave report, and I think it's all I got for you guys. I didn't watch damn near anything else besides tournament action this past 2 weeks. I've barely done anything else entirely. So what we got? Kelly's Corner? What am I talking about? My co-host for this show has been the new liquid death flavor, Cereal Criminal, which tastes just like Fruity Pebbles. Like, it is astounding how close they got to making it taste like the cereal, which I am a big fan of. So I give my wholehearted recommendation to Liquid Death Cereal Criminal. That's the first Kelly's Corner. Second Kelly's Corner. Shin Godzilla got a new release in the States, new 4K restoration. Upscaling? It's not a restoration. It's like a new movie, or new-ish movie, so it's not like they're saving it from falling apart film or whatever. So I'm going 4K upscaling. But either way, I am 99% sure this was a new cut of the movie. Because I know this is the version we'll finally get on Blu-ray that is actually good and isn't so fucked up from Funimation. They really just butchered that movie. But, like, there were scenes in this cut that I do not recall from the original movie. There is one scene that I'm damn near positive I've seen floating around online as a deleted scene for years. So I believe this is a new cut of the movie. I think it's great. Shin Godzilla is one of my all-time favorite movies. If you've never seen it, check it out. It's very much a political drama more than a kaiju movie. And I mean that in a good way. I love kaiju movies. It's, what if Aaron Sorkin wrote a Godzilla movie, essentially? And again, your mileage may vary, but I had a really great time with this movie and highly recommend it. So if it is still in theaters by you, go check it out. And that is it for me. I will talk to you guys next time. Taylor will most likely be back from forming Terrible Pro. We'll see how that goes. Remember, find us on Twitter, find us on Blue Sky. I barely use Twitter. Don't find me on Twitter. I pretty much just use it to look at stuff that people send me. I don't actually go on there myself anymore. Subscribe to the show if you haven't. Give us a rating and review if you haven't. We would really appreciate that. If you feel like donating to us, you can do that at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. Thank you so much for checking out the show. Thank you for sticking around long enough with just little old me. Really do appreciate it. If you enjoyed the show, give me a shout. So I will talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Take care of yourselves. Have a good one. Bye.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.